Again, we wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day today as we are here. We're happy to be able to see all of you, and it's a blessing to have you in our lives. As we think about the life of a Christian that we are living, we picture it as being that we're on a journey through life, that our ultimate destination is to be in heaven someday. Sometimes as we are on this journey, we think about that I would like to have recaptured some of that enthusiasm and that desire that I had when I first became a Christian. When I came up out of the waters of baptism, I was so full of zeal and enthusiasm. And how can we recapture that? Because we see that was a wonderful thing to have that desire. And sometimes as we go through life, we feel like that is kind of dying out at times, and we don't have that same excitement and enthusiasm. How can we get that back? Well, I want to encourage us today to see that God has provided help for us in that, because God is eager to ignite a lifelong zeal and passion about serving Him. In the life of every Christian, God's desire really is every Christian would have that desire, that enthusiasm, and that zeal throughout our life, as we journey from here to heaven someday to be with the Lord. When we turn to the book of Titus this morning, I'd like to begin there in our study. As I asked Jess to read this passage earlier this morning, and really we see here God's vision for His people, that He has envisioned the type of people that He would like for us to be, He desires for us to be. And as we read verse 14 here, it speaks about Jesus, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Zealous for good works. So God's vision is for every Christian to be a zealous Christian. And God's desire is to see what we can be and what we should be. God always looks into our lives. I see this a lot as you study the Scripture, is the way that God envisions how He wants us to be. He sees the potential that you have in your life and His plan for your life. And that's how He speaks of us when He talks about us. Is He wants us to capture that vision also, to see what His plan is for our lives. He understands that sometimes we struggle to reach that in the full extent, but God still pictures us that way to remind us and help us to see what His purpose is and what our potential is. For us to be His own special people, zealous of good works. I think one of the beautiful things about this passage in Titus chapter 2 is how he starts out in verse 11, really, with this thought that he has, where he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so God here really builds a bridge between His grace and the people He wants us to be, the zeal that He wants to see in our lives as His special people. A people that are very unique in this world. God has that vision in mind for you and me, so that our zeal does not fizzle out as we go through this life and And we face some of the discouragements that we come to in life. God pictures that our life, though, is a lifelong zeal that we have as zealous of good works. We're full of this type of passion that we have in serving our God. When you think about zeal and the meaning, the definition of zeal, the biblical definition, I believe, really is a burning desire to please God. That really what it is. When we look to the dictionary, the definition that is found in most dictionaries, it will give something like this, that it says great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a course or objective. And that is fine. I think that is a good definition of what zeal is in many cases. But for God, His picture of what this to be zealous people goes beyond that. It is much greater than that in His purpose and His plan that He sees for our life. It's more than just any youthful enthusiasm. Or sometimes if we have a young person will say something, when I grew up I wanted to be this, I want to do that, and they're very excited about it, but it is... Need another battery? Is that what you're saying? Excuse me. To reload it here. A minute. Thank you. Okay, hopefully that's better. Sorry about that. Our battery was going dead on us here for the speaker. Anyway, the definition that we find in the dictionary for zeal, great energy or enthusiasm in the pursuit of a course or objective. And we might apply that to zeal for sports or some hobbies that we have in life, and that's fine. But God has something far greater than that in mind, is what I'm saying. And when we look into the Bible, I believe that we can identify some of the characteristics that God really has in mind when He speaks about He wants us to be a zealous people, zealous for good works. That there are a number of five qualities that are identified. And through these, we can see that when God speaks about being a zealous people, He has this picture in mind. These qualities have to be part of that in order for it to really fit the definition that God has. And the five qualities that I want us to see is, first of all, courage. And we find this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. And then wisdom, we find in Romans chapter 10, 1 through 3. And then energy is part of zeal in John 4 and verse 34. We see that in Jesus. And diligence is a big part of zeal. Psalm 119, 1 through 4. And then loving service in Romans chapter 12, and verses 9 through 11. So we'll take a moment to look at some of these qualities as to why these are a part of zeal and have to be understood that God has that in mind for our life. Now, think about courage. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, He says, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. So Peter describes here, really, in verse 13, the normal way of life of a Christian, that Christians are relatively safe from harm. And the reason for that is because we are zealous of good.
We are people whose life is innocent.
In terms of, we are not there to inflict harm. We are to do good. We are involved in living a life of doing good, of doing what is pleasing and honorable to God. We see that in the preceding verses here in 1 Peter, as we pick up the thought of what he was saying. Going back to verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 3, he said, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile or deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So he is pointing out here that the life that God's people are designed to be living is a life where we turn away from evil and do good. And living that kind of life in normal circumstances around people, who is there that would be against that? Who is there that would harm us when we are a people who are seeking to do good? Just like he says there in Titus 2 and verse 14, a people who are zealous of good works. God has saved us from sin. Jesus died for us. He redeemed us. And therefore, we are a people that are thankful for what God has done, and we are seeking to do what is good. So under the normal way of life, that is going to reflect that no one is going to try to harm a person like a Christian who is seeking to do good. But he understands the fact that Jesus talked about the fact that you are my followers, and therefore there may be some who would seek to harm you for that purpose. That there could be persecution, in other words, that would come. So, in verse 14, he goes on and looks at that. He says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed." So there still is no real harm that will come to us in doing what is good. Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 and 29. He said, "And do not fear them who are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So the life of a Christian, we seek to fear God and do his will in our life. We understand that God is over people, what people can do to us. So even the worst case scenario, if we were to be in a persecution society where to be a Christian, some harm would come to you. It's not a real lasting harm in the eternal view of life. Because God is there, he is watching over us, he's going to bless us. Ultimately, still, it's all going to be for good. But in living the life of a Christian, like Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23, I think he was talking about the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And he says, against such there is no law. These are the things that a Christian is seeking to live his life this way. But it takes courage to be a Christian. That's the point that Peter is making. We have to have courage. If we are zealous of what is good, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. So courage is a part of zeal for God. That we don't change, we don't back down just because there is the threat of persecution. Because we understand there's something far greater there that we have in life. Secondly, wisdom is a part of zeal also. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul was concerned about the Jews, his brethren in the flesh. He talked to them there in the ninth and tenth chapter of the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. One of the things that the Jews were known for, had a reputation, was that they had a great religious ardor of zeal in their relationship with God, the God of Abraham, the God of the Old Testament. They considered that they were God's people. And the Apostle Paul here was concerned about them, that they had not come to Christ. They were resisting committing themselves to Jesus Christ because they believed that they had a zeal for God and they had a righteousness of their own through that. So in the ninth chapter of Romans, he said, I tell you the truth, I am not lying, my conscience is bearing witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are the Israelites. And he goes on to talk about all the privileges that God gave to them as being his people through. But then when Jesus came, they rejected Jesus. And this was on Paul's heart a great deal, to reach out to his people, the Jews. But he makes the point here, he says that they have a zeal for God, and he was acknowledging that. And that was appropriate for him when he talked about the Jews to acknowledge the fact they have a zeal for God. That is very true. But the unfortunate thing is, it's been misdirected. That instead of accepting Jesus, they have now turned against Jesus, and they're going out seeking to oppose and prevent and speak out against the gospel and persecute the apostles and all of those things. So it was a zeal not according to knowledge. Well, it points out the fact that our zeal, it has to be based on the truth of God's word. Or else we can do the same thing. We can have a zeal for God and go off in the totally in the wrong direction that God would have us to be going. We have to be people of knowledge, of studying the Bible and studying to have the wisdom to understand truth from error and be able to guide in the way of the Lord, in the truth of the Lord, in order to have proper zeal. And then we come to, there's a third quality that the Bible also speaks, that Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 34, when he was speaking with his disciples, the woman at the well of Samaria had come and drawn water, and they talked about the water of life, the water of eternal life. And he was speaking with the apostles, and he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Well, we understand that when Jesus speaks about my food, my food, the thing that satisfies, that nourishes me, that gives me strength, is doing the will of him who sent me. And that was a guiding thought in Jesus throughout his life, was his passion to do the will of God. He was always on track to be thinking of that. I am here to do not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed and he said, not my will, but your will be done. So he understood that he had come for a purpose, to lay down his life, to give a sacrifice. And he was guided in that principle in his life to do the will of him that sent me, to do the will of God, to please God, and to accomplish his work. And of course, one of the highlights that we see in John chapter 17 in his prayer to the Father, he says, I have fulfilled the work that you gave me to do. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. He carried through with that. In order for us to have zeal, we need to have that same energy of doing the will of God, being passionate about that. That is the thing in our life that matters most, is the will of God in all things that we do. But there's also a diligence that comes up that needs to be a part of zeal. And in Psalm 119, David there speaks about the Word of God and how he loves the Word of God. He says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." Oh Lord, how I love your ways and your word and your precepts are precious to me. But in the beginning of the chapter here in Psalm 119, verse 2 through 4, he said, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently." And we understand that why that is so important to have diligence in keeping the commandments of God and going about doing those things that God has instructed us to be doing. To have a diligence in that in our life and be focused on that. There's a wonderful statement in the book of Ezra where Ezra in chapter 7 in verse 10, he said that Ezra had prepared his heart to do the will, to keep the commandments of the law and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He talks about how he had set his heart, he prepared his heart, wanting to fulfill that purpose of following God and teaching his word. There's a diligence then about zeal in our life, that we have a goal. We understand what the purpose, our purpose needs to be. We also see an element of loving service is a part of zeal. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 through 11. Paul there writes about responsibilities of to one another in the Christian life. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. That really is what zeal is about, is serving the Lord. But we see how it ties together with loving others, being honoring our brothers and sisters, being devoted to one another in love. So that when he says, never lacking in zeal, but serving the Lord, that's what he is getting at. That's what he is referring to in that context of having that zeal of serving each other as a part of the zeal that we have when we think about being a faithful Christian. God then has a plan. He has a vision in our life of what he envisions his people are going to be. We will be a people zealous for good works. And that zeal is, where does that come from? Well, it comes from God himself. God himself is a God that is full of zeal when it comes to his purpose and his plan, which is for our salvation. God has a kingdom that he wanted to bring to pass, a spiritual kingdom with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne at his right hand in heaven. And he spoke about that in the book of Isaiah long before Jesus was born. He said, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. But notice he said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Talks about the fact that he will be a Prince of Peace, Mighty King, Mighty God. Speaking about Jesus, it's a prophecy of Messiah and how he will come and he will establish his kingdom. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We see that God is a God then that is... Zeal is a clear part of the nature of God in carrying out his eternal purpose for our salvation. He is zealous for this in our lives. He promised to send Jesus and he fulfilled that. He put on righteousness in Isaiah 59 verse 17. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and he wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. So God is always described this way as a burning fire, as an energy, as a passion and a desire, being a God of zeal. In Isaiah 42 and verse 13, "The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies." We see that many times. God is pictured as filled with zeal in his work. And when it came to the mission of Jesus, when Jesus did come to the earth, we see him describing it here in Titus 2 once again, of what Jesus has accomplished, what he has done in our lives. First of all, he said, he purchased you. We'll look at that again and just review that again. He said, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works. What did Jesus do for us? He purchased you. Gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. It says he purified us. Purified you. To purify for himself. And then a people for his own possession. He took possession of us to be his people. He purchased us with his blood. Zealous for good works. That was his goal and his motive in what Jesus did, to produce zeal in us so that we would be this type of people in God's work. That same thing was true of Jesus when he was here on earth in his ministry. The disciples saw the zeal that he had for God. Jeremy read about in Luke chapter 2 a moment ago that how he went up into the temple. It was 12 years old. And he said, "Do you not know that I must be about my father's house or my father's business?" And in John chapter 2, when Jesus came to Passover at the beginning of his ministry, he went into the temple. He found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold the doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house of merchandise." Well, as a result of that, it said that his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." They saw that quality of zeal that was in Jesus. And he had that throughout his lifetime. He was seeking to do the Father's will to the very end, carrying out the mission and the purpose that his Father had given him. Well, isn't that a quality then that should be in us as we are like Jesus? We are his followers, his disciples. John says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 that he who says he abides in him, that is in Jesus, ought himself to walk just as he walked. One of those qualities would be the zeal that he has of wanting to serve God. Why does it matter that God wants to have a people zealous of good works? He desires us not only for salvation, but also that we might be his people, to be a people of good works here in this world, that can make a difference, that can honor and glorify God. So as we think of those qualities that we have looked at this morning, I believe that we can put those together and come up with a more accurate definition that, according to the Bible, what zeal is. Christian zeal is the courage to exercise great wisdom, energy, and diligence in loving service to God. We are the type of people that nothing will cause us to stop wanting to honor God through being involved with good deeds and good works, living a godly life, seeking to love others, seeking to help show them the good news of what Jesus has done, so that they too may receive that salvation. That's the kind of people God wants to have and what His desire is. He sees that picture in our life. We may not all fully attain that, but God holds that out as, here's the potential, here's the beautiful picture that I have of my people. And He gives us all the resources. He gives us all the ways of understanding. Here's how I can have that lifelong zeal that God wants me to have. Well, you may be here today and you're not yet a Christian. You need to become one. And in order to do that, Jesus says to believe in me, repent, and be baptized into Christ, and raised to walk in newness of life. Each of us, as we serve Him, we have the opportunity to grow. And it's a journey that we have through life that God wants us to continue to grow and to fulfill that purpose that He has of being a people zealous of good works. If you're here today, we invite you to come to Jesus, come respond to that invitation that He has, that we might all together better glorify and honor Him, to be His people here today, here on earth. So we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
542. 542.